The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
This man sitting across from me is the chief executive and founder of Mana Aero. Mana Aero being the company that flies your food to your back garden with drones, drops it down in a string and gives it to you. They are now at the point where we're talking millions of drone deliveries every day. Bobby Healy, can I go back to the first time I heard about this company? Because I happened to have met you at a thing and you were describing your new venture. And you told me this story where you were going to get drones and they were going to fly out of Black Kitchen or Dark Kitchen, I think you described it, and lower things down in the street. And I said, very interesting, Bobby. Yeah. Fascinating idea. Yeah. And I walked out of the room and thought, A, he's nuts. B, that's never going to work. Yeah. Give me a sense of what has happened in the interim.
Well, it's working very well. I always knew it would. Nobody else believed that, but...
Because it's a clearly daft idea, Bobby. It shouldn't work.
As we speak today, right now, I checked my phone before I came into the studio. We have 9 aircraft flying all around Dublin, 15 now, delivering everything from... I just saw one order. Someone's obviously having a barbecue, a load of Gleason's Butcher, steaks, turkey burgers. And so this is people that are used to using the service. They say, we're going to have a barbecue. Instead of getting in their car and driving down to Blanchardstown Shopping Centre, they order a load of stuff from us, 4 kilos, and we fly at 80 kilometres per hour and deliver into their back garden.
What's maximum payload?
4 kilos.
Is it?
Yeah.
So 4 kilos and all money, that's 10 pounds.
Most takeaway food, like the biggest takeaway food item you'll see is about 1.9 kilos. Every now and then you get, like we work with Boojum, the burritos. Every now and then you'll get, burritos are surprisingly heavy, so you'll get 3 burritos, which is like, you know, 3+ kilos. But generally, your burgers and fries or whatever it is. Like books are very popular as well. Like Eason's, you know, we have a deal with Eason's and books are hugely popular.
Who needs a book that fast?
Yeah, it's an emergency. I need to read some fiction right now or I'm going to die. But you get funny use cases and you get funny behavior. Families, you can see the orders, right? Families are ordering loads of stuff, ice creams, donuts, all that kind of stuff. And then you have the real delivery, food delivery people that would use Just Eat or Deliveroo ordinarily. And they're just ordering every couple of nights. They're ordering, you know, their meals. Like, and these are all the young people. So you've got different types of people. You've got families, you've got business people that are ordering to their office, and you've got...
And tell me about the Deliveroo and Just Eat and the relationships there. Because the deals that you've done with them, I assume you see as sort of step change for the business.
Yeah, I mean, our strategy, like when you get down to real business, the strategy has always been not to be a consumer brand, but to power other people. So we've signed DoorDash, the biggest delivery company in the world. Just Eat, we announced a few months ago, and Deliveroo, we announced last week. And the idea is, look, they use road-based delivery now, and road-based delivery is difficult to make work. It's unsafe. These drivers are far more likely to be involved in collisions than normal drivers. And it's difficult from an economics perspective to work. So they're great businesses, but they struggle to make it work. And in peak times, particularly weekends, you can't get enough delivery drivers. There aren't enough. So what we do kind of augments them and just gives them a 3-minute delivery time. It's green, what we do. It's safer. It's more fun. It's like good crack.
Do you think ultimately it is going to be ubiquitous? Like, is your business model that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's all drones, that's it?
It'll be mostly drones. I think in suburbs, it'll be mostly drones. And the reason being is that, like, we've already proven that it's far better. Like, we can fly in rain, we can fly in strong winds, fly in snow. And we're in Helsinki. We fly in snow in Helsinki. You know, we fly in miserable weather.
What's maximum wind speed?
That's an unusual question. It is 17 meters per second gusting.
What's 17 meters per second?
It's about 50 kilometers per hour.
That's a fair good. That's fair gust.
So we flew last 365 days. We flew in 97% of those days. And we'll have a few mods coming, more efficiencies. It'll bring us to just about 98%. So it's fine.
Do birds of prey still hate you?
Birds of prey love us. They no, birds aren't interested. When we were in Balbriggan off the roof of Tesco there, there was a huge amount of seagulls nesting. They'd attack our staff, but they wouldn't go near the drones. The drones are obviously not a threat to them. They know, because we fly in predictable patterns. We don't fly below the tree line, so we're not threatening their, you know, nesting birds, anything like that. So birds have never been a problem, and I don't, even at scale, birds won't be a problem. No.
Now, go back to the start of this. When you kicked off, I assume it isn't like you can walk in and say, all right, I want to go buy a drone off the shelf, nor can you buy the software to control it, because these have to be automated. How did you develop all that up?
We've spent $60 million building our drone and getting it ready. It is
6-0.
6-0. Yeah, that's a lot of dollars. And we continue to invest significantly. We have a team of 120 people, mostly engineers, in Glasnevin in Dublin and in Offaly, where we design these drones, we manufacture them, we maintain them, we test them, all that stuff. It's taken us 6 years to get to where we are now, where we have a drone that's safe, that the regulator feels is safe enough to let us fly where we fly. And realistically, we've done a good job, I think. Like, Amazon has spent $3 billion getting their drone ready. We do more flights a week than they have ever done with their drone delivery program. So just to put in perspective, an Irish company is probably joint first place in the world for drone delivery. It is difficult. You cannot buy a drone that does what we do.
Who are top five in the world, say? If it's yourselves, Amazon?
Google, Wing, they have a drone delivery program. Ourselves, then it'd be Zipline, possibly. And then you would put Amazon behind them and probably Flytrex. That's it. There's really only five companies that exist doing it. I think it'll be us and Google, I think, and maybe Zipline that'll break through and become world leaders and as we scale.
Is that not further evidence of how this is a mad idea, Bobby? When you look and you say,
it'll never work.
Is this giant multinational with the deepest pockets on the planet?
No, I spoke yesterday at an accelerator down the road, bunch of 17-year-olds and 18-year-old startup people, and they asked me that same question. And it's a bit of advice, very few times I would listen to my own advice. But in this case, small companies, rightly motivated and well capitalized, will always beat big companies in difficult things. And the reason is, it's very hard for a large number of people with careers to make decisions that are truly to the purpose. Whereas in a startup, you only ever do things that are the right thing for the project. In large companies, there's always a mix of Machiavellian politics going on and all sorts of career building going on. You know, just risk taking is not there with big companies in the same way it is with startups. So I would bet all day long on a company that had an idea that you would think that Amazon or Google should win. Like, our bookstore product in Dublin 15 now is already beating Amazon at delivering books. You can get the Guinness Book of World Records in 5 minutes in that emergency that you might need it. But the point is, we've pulled that off in 6 years with a very small amount of capital. $60 million is not a lot of capital, you know, and every penny of it has been in Dublin. But where we might have a difficulty is, a small company that scales, when we start scaling, we're going to need hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to scale. And then the disadvantage is, we're not in the United States. We don't have Silicon Valley backers or those balance sheets.
But you do have European aviation licensing, which gives you Europe effectively, doesn't
100%.
It?
There's 300 million people of the 500 million in Europe that we can deliver to. And they're all hungry, very hungry. And they need books, loads of books.
But now, if this works the way that you think it will, am I right in saying that the ultimate vista is one where the sort of the takeaways that we know, where there is a shop on the main street somewhere and they do takeaway and you can go in and all the rest of it, that effectively they become industrial estates, that they become just kitchens with drones flying out all the time? Is that it?
No, I think that's definitely one case, right? Those are dark kitchens work really well for us because they already exist. In fact, cloud kitchens in Glasnevin, or hosted kitchens in Glasnevin, great idea. 12 restaurants, they serve all of North Dublin and we'll fly for them. But no, the restaurant is an experience. It's like it's spending your time with people that you love or people that you want to love. And it's not about the food. It's about the time. So that'll always happen. We will power them because a lot of their business, like 70% of meals in restaurants in the US now travel outside of the restaurant. 70%. But that doesn't mean restaurant business declining. It just means more people are outsourcing food preparation to their house, to restaurants. So it's just going to be a complement to existing restaurants.
What are you going to do when you get so popular, if this works, that people become irritated with the constant presence of your drones?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. So like, if you look at Dublin 15, we have 9 drones powering 150,000 people, 44,000 air codes. We're doing anywhere between 100 and 300 deliveries a day maximum, right? And it's not going to get much beyond. It'll grow a little bit more than that in Dublin 15, not much more. There's 40 square kilometres there that we're covering with 100 to, say, roughly median about 200 flights a day. And the flights are 6 minutes long. If we fly over your house, we're over your house for 10 seconds. That's it, 10 seconds, generating 59 dBA. So decibels, relatively, a car, electric car passing your house generates 70 to 75 dBA. So there's definitely an upfront thing where drones are so new and so disruptive and they're flying over your house that there's kind of a lot of questions, right? But particularly around privacy, less about noise, but also about privacy, right? People are saying, you're flying over my house. Are you looking, you know, all that stuff? And of course we're not. Like, we're fully GDPR compliant. There's no recording. There's no data whatsoever. That'd be really dumb for us to do that. So I don't think so. I often get asked, are the skies... The intro to the show at the start of when you opened up today was millions of drones. There won't be. Like, people need to understand the entire of Dublin 15, 150,000 people are served with just 9 little white drones flying at 65 metres up in the air, relatively quiet.
Now, what if you live beside where they are returning to? Because I assume there is a statistical reality where it might be that if you're between a big urban conurbation and where the food is coming from, you discover, oh no, flight path all day, zip, 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 over my head.
Yeah, not an issue. So first of all, we would, like, if you look where we are in Glasnevin, we're in an industrial estate there, we're nowhere near residents. Blanchardstown Shopping Centre is the same. You wouldn't want to put this beside residential areas. The closest we are would be Junction 6 in Dublin 15, which is about 150 metres from the nearest houses. By the time we start to move, we're already about, soon we'll be 80 metres up in the air. So we wouldn't fly anywhere within 250 metres of close houses. And you really, it really is not a significant noise.
What has been the most difficult thing in either the business or in the technology to overcome in the journey thus far?
It's a concerto of difficult problems. So I would say the tech, the hardware, making hardware reliable and safe. Like, our aircraft has a parachute on it. It's got a ballistic charge that fires to deploy a parachute. It's like an airbag, guys, but making it sound fancy. Think of airbag.
No, stay a ballistic charge, not on a ring.
It's got a triple X flight control system, so it's got 3 flight computers and 6 other monitoring.
But that
computers.
Means if it dies in the air, it's not falling on somebody's head.
Correct. Yeah. And all of that is regulated, right? So we have to prove to the aviation regulator that no matter what happens, someone shoots us, we lose all sorts of motors, we get hit by lightning, whatever, right? That no matter what happens, the aircraft will always descend gracefully to the ground. It might look not very pretty, you know, but it's going to be safe. It's not going to hurt anybody.
What about environments where, if you move into the States, where you have heavily armed citizenry who like shooting at
We've
stuff?
We've already been threatened with a gun in Texas. We have an operation in Texas and some guy ran up to our base with a gun warning us. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't Ted Kaczynski, by the way. It was another guy. But look, guns are reality, but banks are still open. You know, at scale, everything.
But I don't
will
fly
happen.
The bank branch over some
you
guy's
don't.
House
that's
who
true,
may have the gun
true.
In his back garden.
There was a guy that got done in the US for shooting one of our competitors' drones. Look, it's going to happen, but it's not going to hold the industry back. It's not going to hold it back at all.
Do you think you have scope to compete in the US, given what you said about Amazon?
100%. We're going to be a winner in the US. So there was an executive order just got released yesterday. Donald Trump, that magnificent person. An executive order specifically for scale drone delivery. And that is partially because of us. We work together with Google's drone delivery program specifically on that executive order. And we now see the United States as open for us to scale into.
Texas, say, I live in Dublin 15. We get donuts delivered at least once a week. It's a real novelty for the kids. The excitement on their faces. They get more excited about the drone rather than the donuts.
Thanks, Mom.
We mentioned the emergency, Guinness Book of World Records. What's the oddest thing you have delivered or plan to deliver?
An engagement ring. In Hornmore, we delivered an engagement ring.
That's genius.
And the other funny thing is we delivered a Samsung phone. We have a deal with Samsung. We delivered a phone, 1,200 quid phone, to the wrong house. So we got a call from somebody saying, phone just, and as it turns out, it was a girl that had bought the phone for her boyfriend and gave his bloody address instead of hers. So we delivered to his house and ruined the surprise. But that's her fault, not ours.
And at least it stayed vaguely within the family. Yeah, Bobby, thank you so much and best of luck with the way it's going. That is Bobby Healy, who is the founder of Mana Aero.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.